And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to this episode of Revitalize and Replant. My name is Tom Rainer. I am joined by my friend, comrade, and also a person who has done an incredible job on church revitalization and replanting, Kevin Ezell. First thing I want to ask you, Kevin, have you ever gotten an unexpected gift? I know we didn't plan this ahead of time, so sometimes my spontaneity backfires on me, but have you ever gotten an unexpected gift that was something that you were just incredibly excited about, whether as a kid or young adult, or even in your senior adult status right now? Have you ever gotten a
Yeah, I have. It was years ago, an unexpected like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Are you,
you got something in mind? Oh, I didn't tell you. I still remember when I was like 7 years old getting a dog unexpectedly. And so, that was actually a special Christmas, you know.
Oh, that's great.
You have those things you ask for and then those things you really want, but you know it's just too big to ask. And so that was always.
I remember coming home from school one day and my dad telling me my dog was dead. So that was a little unexpected. As well. I got to tell you this, Kevin. My dog's name was Three. Three, the number.
Three.
Are you going to ask me why he was named Three?
Why was his name Three? I'm just curious. Yeah.
Because the previous dog were One and Two. I'm serious.
You know.
So the first dog I got, I named him One because he was my first dog. Well, the second one should be Two.
Two.
The next one should be.
I'm just curious. So what's your current dog's name? 16?
Marley. Right. So I'll try to be brief so we don't take away from the content. I'm going to get to the fact of the surprise gift because this is a bonus episode. This is a gift episode that is not in the usual rhythm of Revitalize and Replant. So here's my story. I'll try to really be brief. So One died as a puppy. We got him as a rescue, and he just didn't survive very long. We didn't have fenced in yards in South Alabama, so Two ran away, never saw him again. Three was a ugly, fat, sweaty, dirty beagle, and my dad hated him. My dad despised that dog. One of the reasons why is because he would go from home to home, and some of the purebred dogs in the neighborhood, the families would complain because their dog had mixed breed puppies. And it was obviously that
he's promiscuous too, then, huh?
He was promiscuous. He was going around. And my dad hated him, that dog. So we lived next to a U.S. highway, and Three got out in the road, my dad said, and got hit by the car, was killed. And so Dad went on and graciously buried him for me before I got home from school, told me about it. And I'm crying. I remember as a little kid, I'm crying. And as I'm crying, guess what happens? The dog, Three, walks up behind my dad. My dad had scooped up and buried somebody else's dog that looked like Three.
That's hilarious. Or he's thinking, dog, I threw the wrong dog into the highway.
So my unexpected surprise was my dead dog is now alive. And my dad was never, if a profane word came out of his mouth, I don't recall it, but it was really close at that time.
Please tell me you never used that in a resurrection illustration. Or
No, I've never used that in a resurrection illustration. So that's your bonus gift was a dog. My bonus gift was a dog that I thought was dead, but now he is alive. And I'm not going to take that any further. This is a bonus episode. Five reasons God may be calling you to church revitalization. We wanted to put this out here for you for a number of reasons. We wanted to point you to the Revitalize 2020 that is coming up. The event will be April 20 to 21st in Bradenton, Florida. We have 500 places that it will sell out. If you want to get in before the price goes up, do so before February 4, 2020. And we're so grateful to the North American Mission Board for being our presenting sponsor and always for the partnership that we have with the Idea Network, the churches that are out west that are joining us in this. So we're going to do a bonus episode. And I know I took too many minutes to talk about dead dogs and live dogs, but we're going to jump into it. Five reasons God may be calling you to church revitalization, a phrase that we rarely heard in the past. And Kevin, before we get into these five, are you hearing more and more, perhaps at any point in your life, as a leading question about church leaders and pastors who say, you know, I really want to do a revitalization?
Absolutely. And that's one of the most encouraging things is revitalization is a thing. I know when I started pastoring, the word wasn't really even out there. It was just plateaued or dead church. But to be able to be used by God to completely turn something around, and I think is some of the attractiveness. But no, absolutely, it's much, much more. People are much more open, and well, actually, some are even preparing specifically to do that. And it's just we desperately need it, because in the Southern Baptist Convention, the majority of our churches are in the South, and we're going through a time where we have a huge amount of those churches that have plateaued and are in desperate need of people coming in and helping revitalize them.
So we've got this whole new sense of being called to revitalization. I think you said that in the context of your response. You don't want to go through this life not making a difference. You don't want to go through this life wondering if you really did something that God wanted you to do, even if it's a difficult task. And that's our first point. You want your life to be used by God. Anybody that has a call upon their life, and it could be church planting, it could be replanting, or it could just be going in and try to lead a revitalization. Were any of your churches in revitalization situations of the ones you served as pastor?
Kidding. Only public committee that would ever talk to me were ones that were headed down. So absolutely. My very first church, it's funny. People just ask me, wait, what's some of those, your best memories of ministry? And I have to go back to my very first church. They voted me in 7-0. It was unanimous. And, we went from 7 to 50, and just still remember, man, the excitement we had to have left that church so much better off and trending up, instead of literally every church I pastored, you know, would be considered a revitalization. As far as going through major challenges and decreasing on a monthly basis. And, you know, those encouraging words you hear from a deacon, you know, we're decreasing much less now than we were before you got here.
Oh, well, I can attest to one revitalization that you led, and that was Highview in Louisville. There was a lousy interim pastorship that kind of got the church in a bad situation, and you came in and just swooped in and recovered it. I'm saying that tongue in cheek.
No, but you did it. And I remember you went through a series on the Book of Acts right before I got there. Yeah.
Wow, you have a good memory. But the reality of it was whether you're looking at the physical facility, the location, the attendance, and some internal issues within the church, it was a church in need of revitalization. And boy, did you come in.
You know, one of the things that was interesting, when I talked to the pulpit committee after I went there, I met with them a month after I'd been there for 1 month. And I said, hey, tell me some things you learned in your time on the pulpit committee. He said, you know, we learned we don't get out much. And we didn't realize how big of a need we didn't realize how bad we were until we went to these other churches. We only come to ours. And they said, we didn't realize that we were in the midst of a church that needed desperate change and didn't know it really until we started visiting all these other churches, because we just don't get out much. And I thought, man, that's a great word.
You know, that almost could be a strategy for a church leader, is to send a small group to different churches on a regular basis. Hey, we're going to send these 7 to this church, and y'all tell us what you found out. We'll send another 5 to this church at another time. Yeah. That's a good – man, you're brilliant, Kevin. That's a great idea.
They were. That was one of the – and so we did start sending people out in small groups. If I wanted – to change something in the church in a certain way, I didn't tell them. I just said, oh, I want you 3 or 4 guys to go visit this church. And they, you know, it's maybe been the style of the service or the way they did certain things. And seeing it is believing it, you know, for a lot of people. And so that was really helpful.
Exactly. I love it. So number one, you want your life to be used by God. Number two, the need is really great. I know you're seeing it.
Oh, it's in the thousands. And I don't, the need is great. We have hundreds of churches right now. It's just hard to find someone being willing to go and take the risk. But to me, it's just like a football coach going into a team that's in a losing slump, a risk. And to me, those are the most attractive situations where you can go in, turn something around, and in this case, be used by God to do something great. The need is astronomical. And we just need guys that have the courage, the willingness, and the obedience to go in and see what a difference God really can make if they're all in. We just need guys who are all in, not taking positions like that because there's nothing else available, but just very intentional. When I see, what I'm so encouraged about is guys intentionally looking for positions like that and high-capacity leaders. And so I'm very encouraged about the future just because so many guys are open to it.
Yeah, your point is well taken. High-capacity leaders. We're seeing more and more people who are truly leaders going into the situation where the conventional wisdom of the past was the weak leaders go into weak churches and therefore you have weak results.
Right.
Now we're having great leaders going to these churches.
Right.
That one is encouraging. Talking about the need, a statistic, or at least two statistics that I quote together from time to time, there's been an abundance of studies on church decline and revitalization and replant, and it's defined different ways. Sometimes it's statistics, sometimes it's congregational survey. But depending upon what study you're looking, we've looked at several, the number of churches in need of revitalization is anywhere from 65 to 90%, probably closer to the 90% when you really look at the need that is there. So the need is absolutely great, and God may be calling you to church revitalization. One of the reasons I'm so excited about Revitalize 2020, we're going to have a ton of, I don't even want to call them breakout sessions. I call them mini conferences, MINI. And they're going to be all about, the need, but how churches are addressing this need as well. And we're going to be featuring some churches of the year as well. And we even have a nomination form that you can look on by clicking onto our show notes here if you want to nominate a church for church of the year. So the need is great. Number three, you have the willingness to invest yourself in a congregation. All right. What I want to do for a moment is you can take this anywhere you want to, Kevin, but I want you to go back to, say, right before you came to Highview in Louisville and what you were thinking about your investment, the time that you were going to spend there, and what was going to be involved. Just let me hear your mind and you can take this any direction you want.
Yeah, I think when a guy goes into a situation like that, you just have to be all in all the time, warts and all, theirs and yours. And man, I was not perfect. The church was not perfect. And I think the key, what I found is that when we talk about investing yourself in a congregation, you just got to be willing to just love people. And if you love people and work hard, and they'll put up with a lot of, I never considered myself a great preacher or a theologian by any means. But if you'll love people and work hard, if you have a willingness to invest yourself in those people, then you can really move the ball down the field. And so, that's where I focused on more accessibility. There's a lot of things, I didn't have, but I could be accessible and invest myself in that way.
You also have the gift of encouragement, too. You may have been told that in the past, but when someone is around you in a congregation or just in a casual situation, there's a sense that there's hope there. And even when you're going through tough times, you exude hope for others, and that is kind of contagious. So investing yourself in a congregation, you've shown it. And when these pastors are thinking about it, they cannot say, I'm going to do a 1 or 2 year stint and then get out of there. It's going to be long term. What is long term? If you stay 5 years, that's pretty good. If you stay more, it's even greater.
Yeah. What? I just warn guys who think that way, because it's just, you're setting yourself up for failure if you're just keep projecting out of where you think you want to be. I don't know if you're trying to impress your mother-in-law or what, but I'm just telling you, the level of fulfillment you have is not determined by the number of seating capacity in your church. It's just not. And I think of my very first church being of 7, my second church running 90. Then we grew in the third, we ran about 400 when I got there. And then Highview was around 1,200 when I got there. So, but man, my level of fulfillment and joy did not, It does not increase when the attendance increases three times. You know, it's just the amount of nutcases you have in a church increases three times. And so, you know, I think some guys are looking for, they're trying to build up, I don't know if they have some insecurities that they need to, you know, to deal with. But I would just say fulfillment of ministry is not based on the amount of people that you're preaching to. It's really not. Hopefully you find that in Christ and not in numbers and noses, so to speak.
Nickels, noses, and all of those things have been the metrics that we have defined success. But I think we're seeing new definitions of success, broader definitions of success today. So you not only have to be willing to invest yourself in a congregation, you have to be willing to invest yourself in the community. What Mark Clifton, the other co-host of Revitalize and Replant, has said many, many times is that every church has an address, and that address was given to it for a reason. And many of the times the reason was to be a presence in that specific community. And so you're not just investing in people, and you are, but not just people in a congregation, but people in a community and the whole community itself.
Yeah, exactly. I just preached at the 150th anniversary of my first full-time church, First Beth Hartsville. I went back there that morning. I got there about 3 hours early just so I could drive around town. And it was incredible. I drove by the ball fields where I was the umpire. The Church of Christ pastor and I were umpires at that on Tuesday and Thursday nights. And then went by the cattle auction. Everybody knows if you live in Tri-State County, you go to the cattle auction on Tuesdays. Why? Because that's where everybody is. You go there. And I learned you don't wear a sweater vest and khakis. You wear jeans and a flannel. And actually, my second time there, they knew I was trying to identify with their sense of community. I had a styrofoam cup, and I put a Tootsie Roll in my bottom lip and acted like I was dipping. They at least said, look, you know, he's somewhat of a nerd, but he's trying, you know?
Yes, and, yes. It may not be back here, but it's chocolate, and it's still brown. And
yeah,
it oozes brown, too.
Exactly. They get the biggest kick out of it. But my point is, I mean, if you're going to live in Charleston County, you got to go. You got to do that. That's like when I went to Highview, you know, the leaders all were in a bowling league. Well, I didn't bowl, but I wanted to get to know them and talk about that sense of community, their sense of community, just be a part of what they're doing and meeting people outside. And so I ended up being a bowling league, for crying out loud. I never thought I never dreamed that would be in a sentence accompanied with my name, but I did.
Hey, this is going down a path. I've mentioned this in the past. I don't know if it's gotten back to it. It probably has. Do you remember what, or have you ever heard, you wouldn't remember, what Al Mohler's first position in ministry was?
Well, I know he had a part-time church where he preached every other week or something like that.
Is there what you're talking about? His first time job was putting up bowling pins at Walnut Street.
Oh, you meant job, period. Okay, I thought you meant ministry job. A bowling pin.
Yeah. But it was ministry in the sense that he did it at Walnut Street Baptist Church in Louisville.
That's funny.
Yeah. I just thought about that. I can kind of imagine Al doing that today.
I cleaned skates by hand with a wire brush at First Baptist Paducah.
Hey, what church were you talking about, the cattle auction? You mentioned the staff.
First Baptist Hartsville, outside Nashville. It's in Trousdale County, smallest county in Tennessee.
Oh, wow. I thought I knew a lot about Tennessee, particularly Middle Tennessee, but I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Of course, you probably don't know Hopewell Baptist Church in Volge, Indiana, either.
Now, Hopewell? My mm-hmm. No.
Every time I get jealous, you're talking about your story, your first church and a 7-0 vote. I had seven people, but my vote was 6-1.
Hey,
I
but just, you weren't, you were, you, yours was 6-1, mine was 7-0, but you were not on national TV though. See, I was on national TV.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. We were on Cops. Yeah. What you going to do when they come here?
Yeah, that's right. You told me about that. Is that the one that says who you going to call?
What you going to do when they come for you?
Yeah, what you going to do? I forgot that you were on that. Yeah.
There's so many different ways, you know, to be invest in your community. And again, that's the key, I think, is you just got to live life in the moment and invest yourself in your congregation and invest yourself. Be all in. I remember I ended up being in the press box at Tri-State County football games. David Brown was most valuable player his junior year when he won the state championship, and still got all my Charlestown County. I couldn't get rid of all that stuff, all my Charlestown County Yellow Jackets. You know, I was all in. And that's owning a community. You know, that's not small stuff. Friday nights, we're at the ballgame. Why? Because everybody else is there. And people think that you feel like you're forced to live there, you have to live there, you're only there temporarily. They're not going to really buy into you. And that's what was really sweet going back, because I had not been back to the church. 32 years later, I run into David Brown, who was that junior on that state championship team. I led him to the Lord when he was a junior in high school. And he's still active in that church and over maintenance of that church today. So that's some of the most, you know, looking back in my, that's the most memorable and rewarding things I've ever done.
We're going to do this one real quickly, and it's just a reminder, your family has to be supportive for your vision, God's vision, to go to this mission field. So if your family's not in it, it's going to be a failure, right, Kevin?
Yeah, it's much more difficult to revitalize a church if your family lives in another city.
Okay, we'll expand upon that in the future. That's probably
good. No, I had a plan the other day that the wife says, "I'm so glad my husband didn't pass the assessment." And I said, "Well, I've never heard anyone say that." She said, I so badly didn't want to go." And I was like, "Well, that's obviously the reason you didn't pass the assessment." But you know, it's amazing as guys don't listen to you, your whole family has to be supportive and all in these revitalizations. Pastor, plant, anything, you need to do it together.
All in. We're always so thankful, Kevin, for the North American Mission Board sponsoring Revitalize and Replant, as well as churchreplanters.com. With 10% of churches in North America at risk of closing, and the North American Mission Board is committed to reversing the death rate of existing churches and also simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new churches. To learn more about what it means to be a replanting pastor, to explore resources for replanting revitalization in your own church, visit churchreplanters.com. You got that information in your show notes. So you've also got information on Revitalize 2020 event that's coming up April 20 to 21st. And you've also got the link to nominate the Church of the Year. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a time together, probably like you have not seen in many ways. So I look forward to seeing many of you there. And always thank you, the listening audience. And I got to mention, since Kevin Ezell has joined us on this, the number of downloads has begun to increase significantly. And it's all due to Kevin and no one else, because I was here before.
Well, that's because I got a big family, you know. I got six kids, six grandkids. They're all listening. So
I got that, but there are bigger reasons than that. Thank you, everyone, for being on Revitalize and Replant, for joining us here. And we'll continue to see how God works as we revitalize and replant churches together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.